This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, a Biafran answers your questions about the war and the starvation in the Nigerian Civil War. Tonight's guest, law student Miss Onima Megwa of the Biafran Association. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in North America. Here are Night Call's special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-3357. And from the New York area at 866-5010. Now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. December in Biafra will be the greatest catastrophe of the century. These are the words of an Irish priest working with the Stavem Biafrans. It is estimated that more than 700 persons, or 700,000 persons rather, will die of hunger there during the month of December. The starving people are victims of the 15-month-old civil war between Nigeria and Biafra. No end of that war is in sight. From the Nigerian standpoint, it is a question of how far to go in striving for united Nigeria. The Biafran people want independence, not unity with Nigeria. Leaders on both sides have been accused of using hunger as a weapon. Nigeria to force Biafra into submission, Biafra as a way of getting international sympathy and support. For some, there is a larger question. Can Africa ever organize itself into a unified and powerful force in world politics if tiny areas like Biafra keep splitting off from their mother nations? In the meantime, while an immobilized world looks on, Biafrans die. The starvation rate is probably more than 20,000 persons a day, and apparently Nigerians too are beginning to die of hunger. We are, of course, conditioned to the statistics of violence and destruction. It is easy to forget that each death is the end of a person, the end of one person's potential to live and love and share a future with other persons. Standing by in Chicago, Illinois, is Night Call guest Miss Onima Anastasius Megwa, a Biafran student at the John Marshall School of Law in Chicago and the guest speaker in a series of lectures at the Afro-American Club at that college. Miss Megwa, good evening.
Good evening.
And thank you so much for being with us. Ms. Megwa, what is the underlying conflict between Biafra and Nigeria?
Well, as you know, Biafrans want independence, and Nigerians want a federation of which Biafra should be a part. And what led to the breakaway of Biafra from the federation was a result of series of complex problems. First, we had the coup d'etat in 1966, in which some key leaders of Nigeria were killed. And then followed the July 29, 1966 massacre of so many Biafran soldiers. And the military governor of Nigeria then was also killed. And then also followed the massacre of so many Biafrans living in other parts of Nigeria. The remaining Biafrans in Nigeria came back, leaving their property behind. Some came back without a nickel. The number of these people amounted up to 2 million, and Nigerian government could not do anything to help rehabilitate these people. And Biafrans couldn't do otherwise and to find a way to protect their lives and the property of their people.
Well, in view of the fact that the Nigerians, Biafrans, and the Biafrans, rather, seem to be at odds, it seems alarming that where 20,000 people are dying of hunger each day, that there is no possibility that there can be some kind of negotiation or some kind of arbitration of this problem?
As a matter of fact, the life of Africans do not mean anything to our indirect enemy in this war. and our indirect enemy being the British people who are feeding Nigerians with all the arms they need to crush Biafra. So the life of 25,000 Africans dying a day in Biafra does not mean anything. Even though Biafrans are trying so hard as Africans to settle the situation, some Nigerian leaders are being used as puppets by these foreign nations who want to foster their economic interest in Africa at the expense of the lives of these young children and old people. So I feel that the rest of the world are people who really believe that any human being has the right to exist should do something at least to prevent these people from dying at this rate, leaving aside the political aspect of the whole conflict.
Does this particular conflict have anything to do with the problem of tribalism in Africa?
Well, we have many tribes in Africa, and if they have any problem, they know how to settle their problems. The British people won't come down to Africa and tell the tribal chiefs what to do. If they do, that really does not sound good. Or they are taking an advantage of the Africans. But the question of tribal conflict should not arise at this stage, because Africans have been living together before the coming of the Europeans. And the new ideas that are being brought by these foreign nations that are taking advantage of the situations now are the main problems rather than the tribal conflict.
What percentage of the Biafrans really would like to break away from Nigeria?
The percentage of Biafrans that want to break away from Nigeria?
Right.
Well, in Biafra we have over 14 million people. And all of them agreed to the secession before our military governor declared the independence of Biafra. So to talk in terms of the percentage of Biafrans that wanted the secession is really, what can I call it, is an uninformed way of approaching the situation.
Well, Biafra's desire to succeed, does this take away from the theme or the posture of African unity?
Could you repeat your question?
Those Biafrans who want to succeed, who want their own independence, does this take away from the theme of African unity?
Well, before we talk in terms of African unity, Biafra is the only realistic and original nation in Africa today. And if all other African countries should be aware of this and think realistically, they all will be able to reason with Biafra, and this will help to foster African unity. But it happened that the organization of African unity is also a puppet of other world powers. Instead of thinking in terms of African ways of settling the situation and knowing what is good for them, they are more or less taking the European attitude towards the whole conflict. So Biafran independence does not break African unity at all. Instead, is a realistic approach that would lead to real African unity.
Now, so that we can get our terminology correct, the Igbos are native Biafrans, is that true?
Right.
Now, it has been generally conceded that the Igbos are the most intellectual of the people who are involved in Nigeria, who are the natives of Nigeria, and these are the persons who occupy the government offices, and I suppose if we would make a comparison to America, they would be among the middle class people. They are the teachers, the civil servants, and the more intellectual. Now, along with that theme, it has been generally regarded that the Igbos have been a people who have been a bit clannish because they have been a bit better off. Has this been a cause for some of the conflict?
Well, this is really what I can call a complex statement. There's some truth to that statement, and there are some sentences embodied there that can be termed diplomatic propaganda towards the Biafran cause. The Igbos are hardworking people, no doubt about that. But to talk in terms of the Igbos and the minority groups in Biafra is really dividing Biafra. And this is what Nigerians in their propaganda materials would like to sell to anybody who doesn't know much about Biafrans. People in Biafra are hardworking people, whether they are Igbos, the Efik, or the Ijaw people, or other groups. They are all Biafrans, and they are hardworking people. If you go to the government of Biafra today, you will find people from all sectors being represented in our government. People are not given jobs because they are Igbos, or because they are Ijaws, or other groups in Biafra. They are given jobs according to their ability to do the work.
Well, are we assuming that most of the Biafrans are the most cosmopolitan of the people in Nigeria? They are the hardest working group of people, and as you say, the most agility, or the most agile, rather?
Well, you can ask Gowan that. Probably he will tell you best. The reality is that Biafrans are hardworking, and to come on up and stress that Biafrans are the most intellectual and the most educated and the wealthy people, if the government in Lagos says that, that's the case. Maybe that's the only truth they could just say since the war has started.
This is Night Call in New York, and tonight our conversation, a Biafran answers your questions about the war and the starvation in the Nigerian Civil War. And our guest calling in tonight is a law student, Ms. Onyema Anastasia Megwa of the Biafran Association. And a reminder to our Night Call listeners, if you would like to be on tonight and you would like for your conversation as well as your response to be answered, remember the sooner you call in, the sooner that you can be on our show. And our telephone numbers, just a reminder to you, if you're calling in from New York, are 866-5010. That's 866-5010. If you're calling nationally, it's area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. If you're calling from the West Coast, it's area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. We'll take our first call, a local call from New York. Mr. Milton is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Mr. Milton?
Hello, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I would like to ask Mrs. Legwa, why is Biafra a part of the balkanization of Africa as the United States, the procedure that it used in, dissension and disorder among the American Indians here in the United States of America?
Would you rephrase your question again, sir?
Why is Biafra a part of the balkanization of Africa as the American white man that came here to America played the same part, trick on the American Indian here as they're doing right now in Biafra?
Ms. Megwa?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Biafra is not yet a member of what is known as the Organization of African Unity. But she will be a member when she has some of her problems, that is the problem of the war, settled.
No, but Ms. Legwa, Biafra is a part of Nigeria, which is a part of Africa. I happen to be an African nationalist, and I have studied African, fundamentals for many years, and we disapprove, the black conscious element in the United States, we disapprove of Biafra, its attitude that is taken towards Africa, and the help organization of Africa the way it's doing. Even though there's innocent kids and people dying there, but it's got to discontinue. We think that you're very out of touch with the reality of the modern world today as it is, with these worlds that other countries that's unifying themselves in the interest of protecting their mainlands and homelands. And right now we have a situation where you have South Africa and Rhodesia right there on the mainland, on the motherland, which is a base and spearheads, where they're taking white Europeans from Europe and subsidizing them with all kinds of funds, all kinds of medical assistance and everything to say more or less influx into Africa in a large scale where they can meet this oncoming surge of African unity and to use people like you, I'd say, and your puppet government as Biafra as an escape goat and out for its advancement.
Well, if you had mentioned the name Nigeria instead of Biafra, I mean, on as far as the points you said are concerned, I would have agreed with you. But, sir, if you check well and if you have been following the situation in Biafra, you will be able to remember that the British government's desire to maintain her economic dominance over the single Nigeria has created all the problems. If you are talking about a puppet government, ask Gowon's government what it is. Check well. If you have not realized that Biafra is the only, as a matter of fact, true nation in Africa today, you would not have at least stated what you have just said. And to add more, if you remember that there was no nation since the beginning of time known as Nigeria,
We don't even consider the position of Nigeria itself as a separate entity. We consider Nigeria a part of Africa, and Nigeria will have to federate with the rest of Africa, not just be continue to be Nigeria, where a little small country like Biafra, that's a part of Nigeria, break off. That's just like here in New York. If Manhattan broke off from the rest of New York, they would land troops in here and everything. They would nationalize the whole doggone state of New York right away and put everybody under arrest. Occupation of troops.
Okay, Biafra is a true part of Africa. And the reason why I'm saying that is that Biafrans...
But it cannot stand alone.
Okay,
it cannot stand alone. You don't even maintain a military force strong enough to protect the place.
Okay,
you can never muster enough people to protect the place. They're flying arms in through Red Cross and everything else to help oppress the Nigerian government itself so that they can get the oil and everything else out of there.
Well,
the oil is sulfur free. We take statistics and reports on what you people, in past years, in 1945, the oil that was taken out of that place.
If you could just...
And you never gotten the money, and you see unemployment there, of course there's going to be unemployment. You're going to continue to have unemployment there, because you let the people take the oil out there for practically little or nothing, and working the people for nothing.
If you could just know the facts, then you will be able to talk realistically. This is what I can call intellectual dishonesty. If you can't at least know the facts before...
See, well, right now,
Mr. Milton, we want to thank you very much for calling. Thank you, sir. Miss Megwa.
About what he's just trying to say, he shouldn't forget that the British people and the Russians are using Nigeria as a puppet now to crush Biafra. Why? Because they know that the oil and the resources in Biafra is what they need to keep Nigeria going. Did we break away from Nigeria because of our oil or because of our resources? No, we did not. We have a higher aim. We feel that the black people should be able to realize that the Biafrans are not dying for nothing.
Ms. Megwa, we'll return to you and more questions right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Biafran student Ms. Onima Megwa after station identification. Mm-hmm. Night Call welcomes your comments about this nationwide listener call-in program. Your opinions and reactions are of value to the producers of Night Call in their continuing attempt to initiate and stimulate dialogue between the black man in the street and his white counterpart. Please address your comments to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. The producers of Night Call attempt to balance the points of view presented on this series about controversial issues. In keeping with this traditional concern for free expression on controversial matters, Night Call invites requests for equal time from responsible representatives on opposing points of view if it's thought they have not been adequately represented on the air. Such requests should be addressed to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to guest Biafran student Miss Onima Megwa about the Civil War in Nigeria. Call Night Call collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our conversation tonight on Night Call, the Civil War in Nigeria, and our guest calling in from Chicago, a law student, Miss Onyema Anastasia Megwa, the Biafran Association. And this time we'll go out to Washington, D.C. Mr. Wade is hearing Night Call over WAMU-FM. Mr. Wade?
Yeah.
Good evening, sir.
Why the Igbos are the most educated, if in fact they are. The reason is very simple. The Igbos were found by the white English men who, you know, just recently left Nigeria to be the most pliable, the blacks who would be most willing to murder, to kill, and to obstruct true black freedom. You know, in fact, there is a, you know, in this country, amongst black, you know, meaningful black people, it is said that the Igbos are the Jews of Nigeria. They bandy about this figure of 20,000 people dying a day. You know, like, whose figure is that? Who's doing the counting? White people? You know, here in Washington.
Well, sir, let's kind of get our thing together. Now, you're making an opinion. Is that true?
Well, yes, that's what she is.
All right. Well, are you willing to allow Miss Megwa to answer?
Okay, of course.
All right.
If you could make your question and speak louder, please.
Speak louder?
Yes, his statement, Miss Megwa, was that he says that you did not explain why the Biafrans have become the most intellectual people, and as you said earlier, the most hardworking. And Mr. Wade suggested or alleged that the reason is that the Biafrans were the most pliable in terms of the whites, that they were willing to become involved with the white establishment at that particular point. Is that true, Mr. Wade?
That's true. Right.
Right. Now, Ms. Megwa, what is your response?
In this country, we call them Uncle Toms.
Well, we could call the federal government of Nigeria Uncle Tom at present, if you really understand the situation, because the British government and the Russians are using them, feeding them up with the money they need right now to crush Biafra. If you remember that on the 21st of November, Nigeria signed an economic and technical aid with Russia of about $240 million. Wouldn't you call Nigeria Uncle Tom, who has given Biafra any money? The Biafrans are working hard in Biafra, irrespective of the odds against them at this particular time, with economic blockade and with the war and with the refugee problems. They are still working hard there. This is what I meant by Biafrans being hardworking people.
You're the one that
they are what you call Uncle Tom. They do not get anything from any white man.
You speak of England, I believe, and Russia as aiding the Nigerians.
Right.
It might be, you know, educational if you would also say, who is aiding you? The Israelites, the South Africans, the Portuguese, the Rhodesians, you know. The Pope recently made a statement of concern for black people starving in your country, you know, in your part of the country, in the rebel part of Nigeria, you know. But yet, the Pope has never made a statement of concern for black people starving right here in America. He's never made any concern for black people who are enslaved in Portugal, in Angola, in Mozambique, places which the Pope controls directly through his Catholic mythology, you know. He's never expressed concern for the black people who have been murdered and had their hearts taken from their bodies in South Africa. You know, this photo, which you, these pictures which you people show, I was at a debate recently at Howard University here in D.C., and one of the rebel girls got up and began passing a picture around depicting starving rebel children, you know. And it has been discovered that this picture is in actuality a picture of starving South African children whose parents have been enslaved in the mines of South Africa, you know. And the last thing she did was to, you know, like, request money, you know. Well, like, who is the money going to, you know? And if there was no oil, like, would the Pope, would these white people be so concerned about you people, you know? Here in this city also, one of your rebels paid some money to one of the stations here in the district, you know, to give him an hour's time to give the rebel side, you know. It was asked him about this $400,000 money, which was supposed to have been supplied for publicity purposes for the rebels, you know. And it was asked, he was asked about that, and he said he had no knowledge of it. But he was very, you know, he was very sure of himself as to who was giving the Nigerian government money. So I'll ask you, who is aiding you people, you rebels?
We don't have anything right now.
Oh,
we don't have
ammunition.
That's why Nigerians are in our territory. If we were getting the ammunition from Britain and from Russia, then we would be able to fight harder. That's why you see Nigerians in our territory. But did anybody tell you that they saw South Africans in Biafra? Did anybody tell you that they saw Rhodesians in Biafra? Did anybody tell you that they saw the Portuguese in Biafra? If they did say that, it's false.
And your leader, you know, Juki, I think you pronounce his name, his family lives in Europe amongst white people. Why is he so black? Why isn't he amongst his own kind? You know, like, why does he go to Europe? You know, explain the public support which you have gotten from Israel, from South Africa, from Portugal and Rhodesia. Explain that.
Okay.
And I assume monetary support also.
Okay, sir. To show you that what you have been telling us right now is not true, Ojukwu's family, as far as is concerned, the father is dead. Do you know that? The father died within this struggle. So, and you are believing that he is in Europe, right? And do you know where the mother
is? His wife, does he have a family other than his wife? I forget his wife.
I tell you, because I know. Do you know where the mother is? You will tell me that his mother is in Europe. But
I'm
if
thinking
you know
of his
where
wife.
Is, you will not be able to at least make the statement you made at first. Now, if you come to the hard fact and call him a rebel leader, you will be able to know that among all African leaders today, Ojukwu will rank the highest. Why? Because he is taking the realistic approach to African problems.
Who is taking this realistic approach?
Ojukwu, the military leader of Biafra.
By siding with white people who are very much anti-black, he's being realistic, you're saying?
Well, he is one of the true, sincere African leaders we have in that continent today. And then, if you are talking about other leaders like Gowon or some puppets like that, who are being maneuvered by foreign powers, who want to foster their economic interest in Africa at the expense of the black people's lives, then you are talking of another story altogether.
Why did the English provide you evils with educational facilities over and above the average Nigerian? Why was it, in your opinion, that you people were well educated by white people?
They never provided us with the education. All the educational institutes were in Nigeria then. if you were reasonable enough to take advantage of it, knowing what usefulness it would provide later on, then you will be in our shoes. Remember, we didn't tell anybody not to go to school. Neither did we build up all the schools for ourselves. So if Nigerians didn't take advantage of that, it is their problem. You can ask Gowon and his government that, not me or any other Biafran.
Mr. Waite, I want to thank you for calling. We have to break for station identification.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. This is NICOL in New York. We'll return to our conversation tonight on the civil war in Nigeria with our guest, Ms. Onyema Anastasia Megwa, following station identification. Stay tuned for the NICOL Network.
More NICOL with Del Shields and guest Biafran student Ms. Onyema Megwa after station identification.
I am Bob Peterson, a Protestant pastor. Listen to Father Byrne, a Catholic priest who has spent the past 10 years in Nigeria, mostly in the area the world knows today as Biafra.
I saw thousands of people, thousands of children especially, starving to death. These poor children were running around the refugee camps, crying to their mothers for food that is not there. Some of them only receive one good meal every 3 weeks.
So that's it. Catholic Relief Services and Church World Service, representing Protestant denominations in the USA, urge you to answer Father Byrne's desperate appeal. Give through your local church or send a check to Catholic Relief Services, Empire State Building, New York, 10001. Or to Church World Service, Box 66, Madison Square Station, New York, 10010. Please help now.
Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in North America to guest Biafran student Miss Onyema Megwa about the civil war in Nigeria. Call NICOL Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our conversation tonight on the Nigerian Civil War with our guest calling in from Chicago, a law student at the John Marshall College, Ms. Onyema Anastasia Megwa. We'll take our next call from Seattle, Washington. Mr. Abodaran is hearing NICOL over KUOW-FM. Mr. Abodaran?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. In the first place, I'd like to say that I enjoy listening to your program. And second place, I'd like to tell you how much I hope that you will allow on a future program some Nigerian representative to present their own version of the whole civil war in Nigeria. However, I would like to also ask your guest one or two questions. She's made remarks this evening to the extent of which Biafra is the only realistic nation in Nigeria, in Africa. Well, I would like to find out from her what this exactly means. In other words, what does she think a nation is? Especially if Biafra is constituted, really, is Nigeria in microcosm? In other words, the same ethnic divisions that are found in Nigeria could be found maybe to a smaller extent in Biafra. And if the classical definition of a nation is truly adhered to, Biafra, by any stretch of the imagination, cannot be a nation. And if that is the only legal and valid political argument for the existence of Biafra as a nation or as an independent nation, then it cannot hold. So I'd like her comment on this. After that, I have one more question to ask her.
Well, first, before Ms. Megwa answers, we have already planned to have a Nigerian representative to be on the show within the next few weeks.
Oh, very good.
Right, and we thank you again for your comments. Ms. Megwa, your response, please.
My statement that Biafra is truly one, if not the only realistic nation in Africa today, is that a lot of Africans do not even understand what their independence meant to them. Even some African leaders who have not been taking the realistic approach to the Biafran-Nigerian conflict still follow the European mentality of assessing the situation.
Well, now, excuse me, but what do you mean by a realistic approach?
The realistic approach in this whole struggle is that Biafrans deserve the right to survive.
Well, if they do deserve the right to survive, but if, for instance, there has been no uprising in the areas which the federal government has liberated, how can you claim that the whole of Biafra as such, 14 million people, support the secession?
Oh, the whole of Biafra. Now, how many people are living in Biafran territories that are now being occupied by Nigerian soldiers?
Well, I couldn't give you any number, but I know for certain that all of the River State and the Southeastern State have been completely liberated. These people have showed no inclination whatsoever to revert to their Biafran citizenship, whatever that means.
That is false.
Well,
why do Biafrans run away when the federal soldiers are coming in?
Well, it so happens.
Why do the federal soldiers kill Biafrans, even the young people, the old people who are unable to fight? Why have Nigerians been bombing hospitals, schools, and areas where the people are living, I mean civilians?
Well,
why have Nigerians not aimed their bombing targets at military installations?
Well,
why have Nigerians not tried to protect the lives of the people whom they are supposed to govern?
Well, if you allow me to answer your question.
Or are they trying now to embody those whom they hate into their so-called the federal government? If they do that, then they are creating worse problems, because Biafrans, if one way or the other, are being subjected to that federation, there will be a cancer in the body politics of Nigeria.
Well, if you let me answer your question.
What somebody who is suffering from cancer goes through,
well,
he or she can hardly survive.
Well, let me answer you in this manner. You're trying to raise this phantom of genocide, which has been the hallmark of the Biafran propaganda. Now, if you would stick to the facts as it has been known now, the international organization which investigated into this whole charge of genocide reported to the world press about a month ago that the whole allegation was unfounded. In the second place, the Red Cross, which has finally been able to get food through, has also denied this whole charge of genocide. So I don't think you do anybody any justice, neither your side nor Africa as a whole, by trying to imply that the Nigerian government has no other policy than to completely annihilate Biafra. We know
Mr. Abadarin, may I ask this?
Yes.
We stated in the earlier part of the show that 20,000 Biafrans are starving as a result of the civil war. Is this true?
Did you state that 20,000 were starving or 20,000 were dying daily?
I'm sorry, dying daily, excuse me.
Well, Mr. Shields, you probably recognize that this figure is a little unrealistic. If 20,000 were dying a day, it will take you 500 to 600 days for the whole of the population of Biafra to be wiped out. Now, this war has been going on for more than 400 days, and it would seem to me as if there should be very, very few people left fighting now.
In other words, you're saying that we are victim of Vietnam casualty figures.
Exactly.
Well, if you remember that what is going on in Vietnam is nothing but a picnic compared with the tragedy that is going on in Biafra today, you will not be able to make that comment.
Well,
if you have been keeping abreast with the situation at home, you would have been more realistic. The figure we have been stating is that 25,000 Biafrans, as a matter of fact, over 25,000 Biafrans are dying a week. And these are mostly children and old people. Why are the rest not dying? Because they are able to run away from Nigerian soldiers. Okay?
Oh, excuse me.
Talk about genocide. Well,
Who are these people who have been sent to go and investigate this problem? Remember that they are those who represent the old colonial status quo. If you remember, the person who was being sent by the British government, Sir Henry Alexandria, if he is the same man I know very well, his wife taught me in the high school in Nigeria, and the wife, Caroline Robinson, was the daughter of Sir James Robinson, the former governor of Nigeria, before Nigeria got her independence. And this Henry Alexandria married her when they were in Nigeria. You have to go back and check well and know that these people still represent the old colonial status quo, which we want to wipe away in Biafra. If you are a right-thinking African man, you should throw in your lot with Biafra.
Mr. Abadarin, we want to thank you so much for calling, sir.
Thank you very much.
This time out to Boston, Dr. Mosa Domi is hearing Night Call over WBUR-FM. Dr. Mosa Domi?
Hello.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Your question, sir?
Well, my question is to the young lady from the so-called Biafra. Does she think that she's telling the whole story as it is? And that if she is, I do not think she's talking the whole story as it is. And that if she can tell the whole story as it is, the Biafran propaganda will be exposed and the Americans will see the true side of the conflict. And the whole thing may be settled in a different way.
Well, first, sir, why do you say the so-called Biafra?
Well, it's a state of mind for a lot of people and the so-called religious organizations. It's recognized by only 4 states in Africa. And if this is the way for 18 months, then maybe it's just a state of mind of an ambitious leader of the so-called Biafra.
Are you Nigerian, sir?
I am Nigerian.
All right.
All the way.
All right, pose your question, sir.
The question is, I want the young lady to trace the history of the old crisis. So maybe to throw some limelight so that Americans will understand how the old crisis started.
All right, Ms. Megra?
Not to start at the convenient point of the massacre.
All right, let's start first with your first premise. Ms. Megra, would you trace the origin of the conflict?
Well, as I told you, it's just like tracing the history of the country. Now, going back to the coup d'etat that took place in 1966, when some key leaders were being killed in Nigeria, remember that everybody rejoiced over that coup d'etat.
Well, not everybody. That's a mistake. Who were killed? Please tell on the radio the people that were killed so that people will know where they come from.
Dr. Domi, you asked her to trace. Now, allow her to trace the history, and then we'll give you a chance to respond, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Now, the people who were being killed were the corrupt leaders. As a matter of fact, one of them, whom I could not call the corrupt leader, was the Prime Minister of Nigeria. He did not die because he was so corrupt, but because he was taking order from a feudalistic leader in the north. And that was the premier of northern Nigeria. Now, after that coup d'etat, the military governor of Nigeria, Sir Akinwunmi Iruanse, took over the leadership of Nigeria. And what happened on July 29th, December 1966, he was being killed together with so many Biafran military officers. Were they satisfied with this alone? The soldiers who are supposed to protect the citizens of their country turned around with some civilians and killed off more than 30,000 defenseless civilians who were from Biafra. And not to talk of that, more than 2 million Biafrans, or people from then so-called Eastern Nigeria, came back from the rest of Nigeria into Biafra. And these people left all their property,
everything they had in Nigeria just to run for their lives. Okay? Since the federal government could not agree on anything, at least to rehabilitate these people or to compensate those who were affected by the crisis, the government in then called Eastern Nigeria had to call on the federal government to do something about it. If a government cannot protect the lives and the property of its citizens, it's not worthy of being a government then. And then being aided by their foreign masters, the then leaders of Nigeria had to turn around and find an European answer to the whole crisis. That the Easterners were talking in such terms, that the people who were affected by the crisis should be compensated because of the oil and the resources from the East. Well, nobody in the East ever thought in such terms as far as the problem was concerned. As a matter of fact, the people were more after their survival than whatever the whole of Nigeria, or whatever revenue Nigeria could get out of their land. Okay, since they could not agree on anything as far as the solution to the problem was concerned, then Ojukwu's answer was that the lives of the people in Biafra should be protected. And to protect their lives and their property, he took the steps he has just taken. And then what was the federal government's answer to the protection of the lives and property of people in Biafra? The federal government's answer to it was a total blockade. As a matter of fact, it's a funny situation that the material used for blockading Biafra is the British material. Not to talk of that, they declared a war, a total war against Biafra. And then, where are they getting all their munitions and all the aid they need to prolong the war? Then they have to be spoon-fed by the British people. And then the Russians came in. If you remember that on the 21st of November, Nigeria signed an economic and technical aid with Russia.
Right.
While Britain is also spoon-fooling her on one arm, then you will be able to know that what is now existing in Lagos is nothing but a puppet government being maneuvered by foreign nations who want to foster their economic interests at the expense of the lives of those black Africans.
All right, Dr. Domi, if you'd be kind enough to just hold, we're going to break for station identification. We'll be coming back,
yeah.
And you'll have a chance to respond.
Okay.
This is Night Call in New York. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Biafran student Miss Onima Megwa after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call. Did you know that half of all the drivers who are in the wrong in fatal automobile accidents are alcoholics? That 40% of all family court cases involve alcoholism or heavy drinking? That 33% of all arrests in this country are for public drunkenness? That the private sector of the American economy loses $7.5 billion a year because of alcoholics on the payroll? And that represents the annual profits of 4 General Motors corporations? And that 33% of all suicides are alcoholics? Frank Murphy is an ex-con and an ex-drunk. He's been there and can tell you like it is and how to get out of it. The Frank Murphy Story, tomorrow night on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to guest Biafran student Miss Onima Megwa about the Civil War in Nigeria. All night call collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our call-in guest, Miss Onyema Anastasia Megwa, who has just outlined the beginning of the origin, or the origin rather, of the conflicts between in that currently taking place in Nigeria, and our other call-in guest, Dr. Mose Domi. Dr. Domi?
Right.
Right, sir.
Yeah, well, she did a very imperfect job, actually. And so I'm going to repeat some points. Now, prior to January 1966, there were four regions in the country: the North, the East, the West, and the Midwest. And in Lagos, no, there's a part called Lagos. Now, for 9 years, the federal government was controlled by a coalition of the present Igbos, these so-called Biafrans now, and the Northerners. Now, they controlled the federal government for 9 years, along with the regional governments, prior to January 66. And then, there was a coup in January 66. In this coup, the federal prime minister was killed. He happened to come from the north. The prime minister of the northern region was killed. The prime minister of the western region was killed. The minister of finance from the Midwest was killed. Not one politician from the East was killed. Now, if indeed the government prior to that time was corrupt for 9 years, by implication, a lot of Igbos were involved, because many of them were ministers. The ministerial posts at that time were held by Igbos and the North, because they controlled the federal government for 9 years. So when they were talking about corrupt government, who were this corrupt government? These same people, the same Igbos and the North. I don't agree with all that anyway. But if that is our premise for the coup, how come not one single Igbo of eminence was killed? Now, a lot of military people from the North were also killed in the crisis. And the only person of eminence in the military from the East that was killed was the man at the armory in Lagos who refused to give the key to the rebel soldiers. Okay, so the coup appeared to be successful, and she thought, the young lady thought everybody was happy about it. Well, that's the state of our mind, too.
Maybe Dr. Domi, yeah. Was there not a counter coup following that?
Oh, I'm going to that. Then
I'm sorry.
A counter coup. Now, in that counter coup now, a lot of Igbos were killed. That's a fact. Maybe more thousands of Igbos were killed, more than the original coup. But this was a reaction to the ill-conceived coup of January 66. Now, there were a series of attempts to stop the crisis at that time, but they weren't so successful. But in any case, the federal government was able to control things. And then there was the Aburi Conference. And before any of the agreements at the conferences were implemented, apparently, Ojukwu had decided at that time the only solution, alternative, was secession. So he decided to secede. Now, in seceding, he was taken along with him about six other people in the East who were not Igbos. Well, now one can logically ask him then, if he thinks that the federal government cannot guarantee the safety of Igbos as a tribe in Nigeria, what reason do we have that he will guarantee the safety of other ethnic groups in this part of the country? And so the whole crisis started, and as it is now, we're going to fight it, not as a war of attrition, not as a war to kill children or women, but to keep that country warm. Because the Igbos think that when the coup was led in January, it was the right coup. Only they could lead a revolution. If the revolution failed, if the revolution wasn't successful, then they have to secede. So they cannot go. And all this nonsense about the Russians and the British supplying us with arms is all bunk. Because South Africans, the antithesis of black people, black people unity, Portugal, France, and the De Gaulle international despoiler, all these are the people now that are trying to pull their hands or pull their foothold in Biafra just to keep the black people apart. So when this lady is trying to invoke all this genocide and things, are very, very, I think, a base attempt to apply to the sentiments of a major of an ethnic group in America, primarily the Jews, because they try to invoke Hitler, they try to invoke Auschwitz, they try to invoke all these things. I think it's not correct. There's no comparison at all. It's a very, very cheap way to apply to sentiments of American Jews. And they talk about Christians fighting the Muslims is a lie, too, because there are other Christians outside of Biafra. And to talk about Egyptian pilot flying the MiG fighters is another attempt to appeal to the sentiment of the Jews here, who probably hear of the Egyptians and will automatically cast their lot to Biafra. And all this bunk about the Igbos being the intellectuals, and these are the things that are framed by these missionaries and all the rest of the people. Now, if the young lady should be reminded that prior to 1930, there was not one Igbo university graduate. Now, how come that between 1930 and this time, which is 38 years, the whole essence of the Igbos can be summed up in that as these people within 38 years have become the most industrious, the most ambitious, the most intellectual? It's all hogwash.
Dr. Dosunmi, well, I would just feel that what you have just said really sounded good to you, but if you could put in more realistic facts into
what facts?
That could be fine, but if you leave it as it is...
Now, what facts? I give you...
One could call it an intellectual dishonesty.
What facts? I will give you.
One could call it an intellectual dishonesty.
What facts do you want? What facts do you want? I will give you.
You will kill me?
No, I will give you the facts that you
want.
You
will give me the facts?
Yes.
Okay, just wait a minute. If you are trying to negate the fact that a new phase of international politics has been born in Nigeria, if you try to forget that part, well, I think you should go and search.
What facts are you talking about?
Okay.
What facts?
Well, do not forget that Russia and Britain, these are countries with diametrically opposed...
So what? You are appealing to the American people. You see, that's a very cheap way.
Okay. That these are countries with diametrically opposed ideologies.
So what?
Are competing to maintain an influence in Nigeria by supplying arms for the genocide of Biafra.
No, if Ojukwu wasn't so ambitious to secede in the first place, the crisis would have started.
Then you will be able to talk realistically to the understanding of anybody who...
No. If Ojukwu...
Dr. Domi, thank you so much for calling, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Megwe, we want to thank you so very much for being our guest tonight on Night Call, and forgive us for spending so much time with just a few guests, but we felt it was very important that we at least got the other side as well. And we thank you so very much for being our guest tonight on Night Call.
And thank you, too.
This is Del Shields in New York. Thank you so very much. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, the Frank Murphy story, our alcoholism and how to beat it. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.